Good morning, everyone. I hope this message finds you well. I know the lockdown has been extended till February the 8th. So please, while this lockdown continues, I encourage us all to try and stay in touch with each other more often. Also use this time for prayer and Bible study. To keep God uppermost in your mind at all times. You know, just after Judas had left the Last Supper, and having predicted Peter's denial, Jesus gave his disciples three very important teachings. Each of these is recorded in the chapter 14 of the book of John, or the Gospel of John. One of these teachings is in verses 16 to 17. I'll read John 14, 16 to 17, and Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Jesus announces that he will ask his Father, our Father, to give them, the disciples there at that time, another advocate, or in this particular case, the Greek word that's translated advocate comes from the word paraclete, meaning comforter, strengthener, helper. This was really a time of stress for the disciples. They had just seen one of them leave, who is now revealed as a betrayer and a thief, and another who had been told he would deny Jesus. There must have been quite a bit of tension and stress in the room at the time. And in anticipation of this stress and discomfort, Jesus announces that he would send the Spirit of truth. He would send another. He would send the Holy Spirit. We learn from these two verses six remarkable facts about who is this advocate, this helper, this paraclete, this comforter and strengthener. The first is that he will be a gift from the Father to those who are true believers. Even Jesus had said earlier, and it's written back in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. And it was just after the Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day. It says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So basically, in John chapter 14, Jesus was reaffirming that this gift would be given to them. But the second point in these two verses is that this person, this another helper or counselor, as it says, would not be Jesus himself. It's important to know that this word "another" in the scripture, when translated, means another of the same kind. It's not some subservient helper. It's a person who will bring us closer to Jesus Christ, who is also God, that he is part of the Trinity as we know it, that this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Although they are distinct, they are one, being one God. So what Jesus was saying is that the Spirit will take over the work that he was doing, and that this Spirit will continue that work. For the disciples, over the past 3 years, Jesus had been teaching them, comforting them, ministering them, strengthening them. But now he was saying he would soon be going away. So he promises another of the same kind, who will do the same, that he will not leave them abandoned. The third fact is, in verse 16, Jesus announces that the Spirit will be with them forever. It is the same with us. When the Spirit comes into our lives, he does not have to be invited over and over again. Once we have received the Holy Spirit, it has been sealed in us. He has been sealed in us. And God will not forsake us. In John chapter 14, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. And also in Hebrews 13, a scripture we all know well, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The fourth fact is in verse 17. The fourth fact is that the Helper, this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will be the revealer of truth. The Spirit gives us the Word, and that Word is absolutely dependable. And just as he gives us the truth, he does also expect truth from us. It's our opportunity in prayer to be honest and open with God, that we can share in our prayers, admit our feelings, our needs, and above all, our sins. And as we are led by this truth, this Spirit of truth, then we should expect to do nothing less than be truthful with the Spirit as with ourselves. The fifth fact that comes from these short scriptures is that the Holy Spirit is available to Christians, but unfortunately is not accepted in the world. As it says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. All we have to do is look around us and we see our world in decay. The freedom of religion has become a mockery. Our governments and schools and public life in general do not acknowledge God or teach him about him. Our way to make change and peace, unfortunately, has become a way of violence, as we have seen in the past week in the United States. And yet, this violence is not just south of the border from us, it's all around the world. It exists everywhere. There is no peace. The world, the sad part is that the world does not accept the Holy Spirit. Cannot see him, cannot know him, doesn't even want to believe that he exists. At the end of verse 17 is the last fact, the sixth fact, and that is that this gift of the Holy Spirit is available within us, within you. At the time Jesus said these words in John 14, of course, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. That was to happen still at Pentecost. But here, Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit would be alongside them. But then at Pentecost, they would receive the Holy Spirit, just as we are able to today. We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we come to Jesus, the moment that we want to put off our old self, to put on our new self, that we want to be born again, that we want to repent and change the way of our old life. That we know that there is hope and that there is help and that there is an eternal life thanks to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What Jesus had said to them and says to us today is that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live the Christian life as God would have us live it and live it forever. So now that we have taken a look at those two verses in John 14, it's important to know who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how he does it. Over the next week or two, we will learn a lot more about him and why without him our lives are meaningless, hopeless, and without purpose. How we can draw on his power, how we can glorify Christ, and how we can do the will of God. When we read this scripture of John 14, and he talks about the advocate. In actual fact, the scripture that we read, it gives the Holy Spirit two names. The advocate, also translated as the comforter or the helper, and the Spirit of truth. As the helper, the Holy Spirit actually prays for us. He is our help. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." What an amazing blessing that the Holy Spirit can present to God the Father as we pray in a way that is meaningful to both him and to us. We're not left alone when we face our trials and our problems. Our intercessor, the Holy Spirit, and our advocate can ask the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit asks and helps us to pray, to search our hearts, and with reverence share what is on our minds and in our hearts with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we don't know exactly the right words to say, but the Holy Spirit does, and he will pray with us and for us. I think it's very comforting to know that the Holy Spirit searches our hearts and knows our mind. He can translate that into meaningful words as our intercessor. You know, we have to remember that since the Holy Spirit is God, then the Holy Spirit, as God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. Therefore, we can be confident he does hear us, and because of his love, will always help us in our prayers, knowing that God will answer according to his will. And we've all experienced prayer. We've all experienced answered prayer. And we pray often with expectations of immediate answers, but sometimes those answers come a lot later than we want. But it seems that those answers are always the better answers than the ones that we asked for. And it is the Holy Spirit who works with us and in our prayers to bring those answers about. And we just have to thank him for that tremendous power as our helper. As our helper, he also helps us to love. He helps us to try to change ourselves from our old self to the new by giving us the strength and power of self-control and self-discipline. He gives us the desire to want to obey our Creator. He gives us the desire to want to have self-control, that we have the desire to obey because we love our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." He gives us this love, this desire to want to obey. We sometimes fall, and thankfully we have a Savior who picks us back up again and forgives us and allows us to continue. But it is that Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, who gives us this desire to show our love by our obedience. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it also says, he gives us power. Wow, what is the power that we are given? It is the same power that moved upon the waters and brought creation to life. In Genesis 1 verse 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit, he existed before creation just because he's God. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all existed before creation, and the power of the Holy Spirit was hovering over those waters. He was part of the great creation. The power of the Holy Spirit can be seen throughout the whole of the Old Testament. He empowered men and women to accomplish God's work. Even the skills of the craftsmen, the artisans who worked on the tabernacle, were filled with the Holy Spirit. He fell on Gideon and Zechariah and on Samson. He prophesied through Saul and was in David. Of course, David didn't want to lose the Holy Spirit that was in him, as we read in Psalm 51. He dwelt in Joseph and in Joshua. In the books of Isaiah and Ezekiel, there are up to 15 references of the Holy Spirit. And one of the best descriptions of who the Holy Spirit is in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, where it predicts and prophesies about the Holy Spirit resting on Christ. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." And then it goes to describe what that Spirit is. It is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might. It is the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And this isn't the kind of fear of being afraid. No, this is the kind of fear that the Lord talks to us about. It's the fear of reverence. An easy way to remember what this fear is like is to use the letters of the word fear. The F of the word fear is faith. And the E is the experience of grace. And the A is awe. And the R is reverence. That is the kind of fear that the Holy Spirit gives us, the fear of the Lord, that we have faith, that we experience and appreciate his grace, that we are in awe of him and his power and creation, and that we give him due reverence. This is the same Spirit that is now in those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. This Holy Spirit, this power that we've just described, is in all of those who have accepted Christ. We were given the same power used at creation, the same power that came and rested on Christ. When Jesus, it is written in Luke chapter 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is the same power that is available to us from the Helper, the Holy Spirit. The Helper is also there to teach us. It said in John 14, verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is Jesus continuing on and telling his disciples at the moment, at that supper, that the Father will send in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything that he has taught. In John 16, 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. When we read and reread God's word, the Holy Spirit helps us in our understanding and brings the word to life. But just these things that I've mentioned, what the Helper, the Comforter, the Strengthener, the Holy Spirit does, the fact that he is, that he gives us power, that he prays for us, that he teaches us, that he helps us with self-control as we desire to obey God's law. This is just the start about who the Holy Spirit is. We learn that the Holy Spirit, that without the Holy Spirit, it would be helpless and hopeless, our lives. I can't imagine what it would be like without God in our life, without the Holy Spirit in us. Especially as we see the events around us now bringing more turmoil, more stress, and more uncertainty. But the Helper does reveal the truth. I'd like to read from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, what Paul has written, because he helps us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and where he resides. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depth, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. And then he finishes in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind, the Holy Spirit in us. So what are we to do? In verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. In fact, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is about the Spirit. But in verse 14 specifically, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We are part of the God family. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Let us lead and be led. Let us be led by that Holy Spirit. Let He lead us. Let us be led by the Spirit, our helper, our guide, our comforter, our advocate and intercessor. To be led by the Spirit of God. We should pray. We pray to ask the Spirit to lead us, to intercede on our behalf, to give strength to overcome in our weaknesses, to comfort us in our trials, to give us wisdom, to receive instruction and follow it, that we are given understanding thanks to the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you bring God's word alive to us and that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that does that. And above all, that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love and to love in all circumstances. So I'd like to just close with prayer, but before I do, just mention that next week we will spend more time on who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and how we can use the Holy Spirit. Not use, but be led by the Holy Spirit is probably the better way to put it. So, in closing, just like to say, Father in heaven, God, Holy Spirit, helper, advocate, intercessor, source of love and power, we thank you and praise you that you are in us. We thank you that you are known in us. We thank you that we are sealed by you. And because of that seal, we and the sacrifice of you, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the bringer of peace and comfort, that you are our guide and our helper and teacher, and that you know what is on our minds and in our hearts, and that you are in our prayers, and that as our advocate and intercessor, you present us to our Father with those words that are of meaning and can share our thoughts and bring us peace and comfort in times of trial and stress. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for who you are, that you are in us, and the power that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.